Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. No worries. Set myself up here quickly. Okay, so just want to start by reading from Luke 10:19, scripture I'm sure we probably all know, which says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." You know, church, I think quite often we know that we have power over the enemy. We know this scripture. We're a Pentecostal church. You know, we lay hands on one another all the time. Every week on a Sunday, We pray over one another. But I think we can become complacent. We can lose track of what actually is happening in the spiritual realm. You know, in church, we need to be winning the battle in the spiritual realm. We need to be taking control over our families, our wives, our husbands, our kids. We need to be breaking things off, attack from the enemy over them. We need to be giving our houses to the Lord. We need to be constantly careful of things that are going on in the spiritual realm, because the reality of it is, the reality of the Word of God is the spiritual realm. It's interesting how so often we become natural. Everything we do as Christians, we become natural people. So we start to focus on our retirement. We start to focus on the amount of money we're going to have next week, the amount of money in our banks. We think like natural people. We try and get speakers in who are really good in the world, who can... that air conditioner, maybe if that could go down a bit. Yeah. If I lose my notes, I'll be in trouble. We try and do things in the natural, and we wonder why we don't get anywhere. We're doing it the same way as the world does it. We want guest speakers to come into the church who are business people, who are great and powerful in the natural world. But we want the Spirit of God. The church needs the Spirit of God if the church is going to prosper. We need to get into a place where things can happen. Are you struggling in your life? Have you got battles in your life? I tell you right now, I bet you everybody here does. You need to take hold of that problem, whether it be in your wife, your husband, your kids, your health, your finances, whatever it is, take control of it. Bind it. Rebuke the devil off it. Break him off it. Use the power that Jesus has given you. And it's not just a day. It's not, oh yeah, I broke it off last week. I broke it off yesterday. Sometimes you need to break things off 30 times in a day. You need to be on to it. You need to be fighting it. Right, I'm getting tangled. Back in 1998, my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she was living in Canberra at the time, and she was going to a church. She came to know God through a sickness. She came to God, and she was going to a great church in Canberra, but she felt that they were unable to stand with her in believing for a healing. And so she told a friend about this. And a friend said, "Look, I know a place you can go where they'll believe for your healing. They'll stand by you and believe it." You know, sometimes people, must be hard for ministers or whatever. They've prayed over so many people, and they've been let down in things, and they can become a little bit, it can become tough for them, I suppose. But anyway, so she went to this church. She went to this church over at Monash in the ACT. And Mel and I were living in Melbourne at the time. And so we came up for the weekend, over Christmas it was, a week over Christmas, to spend with her. And over that period, Mel and I both were saved. We went to church with Mum, and we were both saved in this church, COC in Monash. And around the same time also, my sister was saved. So through Mum's sickness, which was not good at all four of us were saved. All four of us came to know God. And that was a great church. You know, the pastors, Mr. and Mrs. Russell, I still call them that. That's what I used to call them. Len and Lois Russell were their names. They were about probably 65 at the time. Len had grown up in the church. His father was a prophet in the church. Len had never touched a drop of alcohol in his life. Len was a great man. He was one of the best men I've ever known, it would be pretty hard to meet a better man, only because he stuck to God with everything he did in every way. And they were like parents. I remember I didn't have a job at the time, and so they organised me a job. They wanted me to. They got me up to preach because they knew I wanted to preach. And even if I messed up, that was okay. They'd get me up next week. That was their ministry. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to build the people in the church. They wanted to bless the people in the church. There were four or five people in that church that had come without a job who they had organised a job. They were strong people in the spirit, very strong people in the spirit. And anyway, Len and Lois had a son. His name was Scott. And Scott was a very skinny man, very thin man. And the reason why, not because of any bad reason, he just used to fast all the time. Scott would get up at 6 in the morning, and he would go, and Canberra was a cold place. I don't know if you've ever been to Canberra. In the winter, it gets down to -7 degrees. And Scott would go out and stand on the middle of the oval and spend time with God. Wouldn't put a jacket on, because he just felt, I don't know exactly what his reasons were, but he just felt that helped him to get into the Spirit of God. He used to like that. Scott didn't have a TV in his house. Is that a bad thing? Is that something we should all do? No, I'm not necessarily saying that, but that was him. That was the way he wanted to live. He didn't have a telly in his house. Everything he did was in the Spirit of God. I can remember Scott had 5 children, and he had made money out of a car business that he had, bought a house, but he just felt God was saying to him to sell his house, give it to the church. He sold his house, I think, for $120,000 back in the day, back in Canberra. Those years ago, might have been 100, whatever it was. He put the whole lot of money into the church, and he went to America with 5 kids and his wife with no money. Why? Because Scott was a man of the Spirit. Scott was a man that put everything into the Spirit of God. Scott knew that the thing that mattered was the Spirit of God. And I can remember him coming back to church. Scott wouldn't sit in the front row. Scott would sit up in the middle. And I remember sitting there thinking, what are you doing, man? I want to hear you preach. He didn't want to preach. He was happy to sit in the back. And he hadn't changed. He hadn't lost anything. That's just the way Scott was. He was happy to sit in the middle row. If you wanted to speak to him, he was happy to speak something good into your life. And I remember he got about 10 of us together one day when he came back for a period to visit. And he got us all prophesying over one another. And we're all moving in the spirit of prophecy just because of something that was in him. He didn't have to do much. He just got us doing it. He brought something that just infected the lot of us. And for a whole week, it might have even been 2 weeks, we went to church every single night of the week and just got together. And it wasn't hard. It was just something we did. We wanted to do it. This group of people, and we just prophesied, and we just got into the things of the Spirit of God. And then Scott went again, and we should have probably tried to continue that. I remember seeing Scott one day preaching. We had to go to a youth meeting, and before he had to preach, he was a youth leader at the time, and it was an older youth. It was probably most of the people 30 in the youth group. That was the sort of youth group it was. It was a great youth group. And I just remember watching him before he went out to preach. He was just out the back, and he was just marching back and forwards, praying in tongues, just praying in tongues. And I hadn't been a Christian for long. I'm thinking, what's he doing? And then he came out, and man, just unbelievable, unbelievable. Just blew the place down. Like, it was just incredible, because Scott knew that he had to get into a place where things can happen. And church, in the same way, we need to get into a place where things can happen. You see, I'll just read from, I lost my notes in the wind. Where did the... it's under here, sorry. Okay, so from Ephesians 10, if you can turn to Ephesians 10 quickly. I'm going to preach out of Ephesians 10 and keep coming back to that scripture. You know, church, we need to be winning the spiritual battle. You need to ask yourself, are you winning the spiritual battle? Ephesians 10, verse 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Okay, thank you for that. I wrote that down wrong. Put my foot in it. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Now, from verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Church, are you strong in the power of the Lord, in the power of the Lord's might? Do you feel you are strong in the power of the Lord's might? Just ask yourself that question. Do you feel that you are winning the spiritual battle? You know, what is the power that Jesus has given us? We need to know that. We need to know that we have the power to cast out, to cast the enemy out. That might be a whole range of things. We need to realize that part of the attack of the devil is depression, anxiety, feeling heavy, feeling low. You know, these things become apparent. I tell you what, if you want to do something in the Lord, if you want to go out and you want to evangelize, if you want to preach, if you want to have a small group meeting, if you want to talk to somebody and try and bring them to know God, all of a sudden, you'll know what I mean. Because all of a sudden, things will come. You'll feel a weight of concrete. The devil will drop a weight of concrete on your head. It'll just be heavy. You'll just feel down. You'll just feel like you can't speak. You'll feel like it's hard. And it's so obvious. You know, the devil spends so much time trying to prove that he's not there. Yet he puts his foot in it because he makes himself so obvious. When you try and step out in the Lord, he will stand in your way. And church, you need to break that off. You need to break that weight off. You need to break that depression off. You need to break that anxiety off. And I know because I've had anxiety and I've broken it off in the name of Jesus Christ. And I didn't break it off once. I've broken it off probably 100 times in 2 weeks. Because you need to, when the devil gets onto you in something, he gets his fingers into you, it's every time, it's like a hammer banging a nail. You bang him away, he's gone, he'll come back. Bang him away, he's gone, he'll come back. That's how it goes. And eventually, well, not even eventually, you still have to break things off you. It's a battle. It's a wrestle. I'll continue from verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle. It's a great word, wrestle. It explains what our lives are like. It's a wrestle, a spiritual wrestle. Not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, if the devil can convince you that evil spirits don't exist, you're already beaten. Because he'll come in and you won't even know he's there. He'll meddle with your life. He'll play games with your life. You need to stand up. You need to rebuke him. You need to speak the word into the spiritual realm. And you need to stand in the power that God has given you to be set free from that. You know, what does winning the spiritual battle look like, do you think? Do you think that it means that if you've got adversity, that you're losing the spiritual battle? That's right. No. We've all got adversity. There are things in our lives which we'd rather them not be there. But you see, it doesn't mean that we're losing because they're there. We can fight those things, and we will continue to fight those things. But really, losing the spiritual battle is when you're heavy. It's when you're doubting. It's when you feel broken. When you don't feel joy, but you feel pain. When you feel so low that you just feel everything's crumbling around you. That is losing the spiritual battle. You know, in the book of James 1, what did he mean? You know, he said, count it of joy when you fall into temptation, when you fall into tribulation. Well, how crazy is that? Who counts it as joy when you fall into something bad, you know? You don't get joyful. But see, he was talking about the spiritual realm. He knew that if it is possible for you to get broken in the spiritual realm due to your tribulation, then you're going to lose. So even when it comes, when those fires, when those flames are hitting on your head, you need to rebuke the devil. You need to get your joy back. You need to get your happiness back. And then you're winning. You're winning that battle. You know, the Bible is a spiritual book. If you look at the book of Matthew, from Matthew 1, all the way through, Matthew 1, there's an angel appears to Joseph. You know, they find out that Mary is pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Number two, a star leads the wise men in the sky. Number three, Jesus, God says, this is my son. And then in number four, the devil appears to Jesus, and Jesus rebukes the devil and gets tempted by the devil. But the point I'm making is that every verse, every section of the Bible is spiritual. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual book. And so when people try and make it seem super spiritual, because you believe in the things of the Spirit of God, because you pray in tongues, well then, they're missing the whole point of the Bible. See, the whole point is the Spirit of God, is getting into the spiritual realm. You need to get into that realm. You see, we don't see heaven. Heaven is in the spiritual realm. We don't see the enemy. He's in the spiritual realm. Sickness, everything comes from the spiritual realm and through the spiritual realm. And we need to believe that. We need to get into that realm. We need to get our thinking into that realm so we can fight it. You know, apostles, Acts 1, the apostles, I love it how Jesus said to them, he said, don't leave Jerusalem until my spirit has arrived. And so they went and locked themselves basically up in a room, up in the, you know, completely out of the way. Why? Because, I mean, what's the point of going into the battle if you haven't got the Spirit? What is the point? They locked themselves away. They were completely out of everything until they received the Spirit of God. You know? Stand therefore, having, from verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Truth. Why does truth protect you in the spirit realm? Why do you have to have truth? You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. You need to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. You have to remember that the power of the Spirit, everything works out of your relationship with Jesus. There is nothing more important in the Word of God than your relationship with Jesus. That is, everything is built on it. Everything works out of it. And you go through some tough times. You might have been praying for somebody for 3 months and nothing's happening. You might be struggling with something and nothing's happening. But if your eyes are on Jesus, you will be able to withhold it. You'll get through that. You'll beat that. But if you take your eyes off Jesus, you could end up anywhere. Everything is built on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, I remember when I was first saved, I was at work and I went up to a guy and I said, hey, look, man, you know, you've got to know Jesus. And he looked at me and he said, oh, yeah, right. Do you know that the whole book of Acts is a lie? It's a lie. It never really happened. And I was like, what? I was broken. I was like, well, you know, I was taken back. And so I went home and I looked into it and I thought, hang on a sec, what's he talking about? You know, this isn't true. It was a lie. It was a lie that he said to try and throw me. I don't know if he meant to try and throw me, but it was a lie from the devil to try and throw you. You know, and I came to that scripture, which says something or other. It says 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, all scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is inspired by God. The Bible is the word that God gave us. It can't be added to. It can't be taken away from. If there was something supposed to be in that Bible, it would be in there. You've got to trust God. God's not going to give you something or withhold something from you. He's given you the word. That is how we will be judged. That is how we're to live. It cannot be added to. Proverbs 36, chapter 30, verse 6. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Do not add to his words. People will try and add to his words. The Da Vinci Code. People will try and... You watch Foxtel for a little while. Actually, don't watch Foxtel. Anything comes up about Christianity, don't watch it unless you're, you know, unless you're prepared to hear lies, things that aren't true. You need to stick to the truth. When you step out in the Lord, people will try and tell you lies. Don't listen to them. Know that the word of God is an amazing book. It is a living book. And there will never be another book like it because it is the word of God. Having a breastplate of righteousness. Why do we need righteousness? And it's interesting here because it speaks about faith a little lower. So it seems to me that righteousness is your actions, taking control of your actions and the things you do. Yes, I know, that's all old, that's all back in the past. But no, righteousness works together with the Spirit. They're actually intertwined. You know, in chapter 5... of Matthew, and Jesus is preaching on the mountain, and you get this picture in your head of this religious, really religious thing. Jesus is standing there. You must not. You know, if you break the law, you're in trouble. But church, you need to look at that through spiritual eyes. Go back and read chapter 5 of Matthew through spiritual eyes. Jesus was baptized in the Spirit. He had the Spirit of God. He did nothing in the flesh anymore. Everything he did was in spiritual eyes, through the eyes of the Spirit. And he says that something like, turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. Has anyone actually ever turned the other cheek? That is crazy. Turn the other cheek. But see, Jesus knew that if you take an offense, if you get angry, if you fight back, if you lash out, then you've hindered your spirit. You've allowed the devil to affect your spirit. That's why he says, don't protect your spirit. Don't allow the devil to affect your spirit. Protect it. Guard it. Look after it. If that means you've got to turn the other cheek to do so, well, then turn the other cheek. But you walk away the winner because you have looked after your spirit. Even if you look at a woman as to in the wrong way, you've already committed adultery in your heart. See, because if you look at a woman in the wrong way, to actually look at her and to really think, to cross that line, doesn't mean you've got to put goggles on or something. But I mean, you know the difference. There is a difference when you look at a woman or a woman looks at a man, and there's a line there. If you cross that line, then you've allowed the devil to affect your spirit. It's a spiritual thing. Jesus is saying, look, you've received the Holy Spirit now from the mountain. He's not dressed in a robe and with the crown. He's standing there probably in a pair of shorts and he's just talking in the Spirit. That's what he's doing. And he's saying, you've got to look after the Spirit that is inside of you if you're going to win. I've given it to you now. Now go out there, move in it, work in it, live in it, and be victorious in it. That's what he's saying. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Peace. Peace is important. You know, you allow yourself to get all wily. You allow yourself to get all carried away, all revved up. I've got to take the world. I've got to break the world. You know, sometimes you need peace. You need to just trust God. Just trust God. God will open the doors. I remember I was at a job I was doing a while back. And there was a guy in the class, and he was full on talking to everyone about the Lord and everything. And I felt bad. I felt afraid. I'm just bad. I'm not saying nothing. I'm kind of quiet. I feel kind of bad about this. You know? But everybody talked to you. I don't think it really got through to anybody. Like, I'm not saying that I like the guy. I love the guy. I love the way that he was able to speak about God. Don't get me wrong. And I felt really guilty. But then I was sitting down with the guy and it just came out. The Spirit just brought it out. And I think I probably affected his life. I really do. I just spoke a few things into his life. And it was probably more powerful than everything this other guy had. I shouldn't say that because it may not, but it likely was, you know. And the thing is, we need peace. Keep your peace. Don't get all carried away, you know. Don't get all worried. You get worried, you get anxious. This is so bad. This is breaking me. I can't. You've got to find the peace. Find the peace. Have your feet shod with peace. Rebuke it. How do you do it? Rebuke it. Break off that feeling. In Jesus' name, be gone from me. Leave. But speak it into the spiritual realm. Don't speak it quietly. Go, devil. Go, devil. Speak it into the spiritual realm. There is a spiritual realm, and you need to speak the word of God. Speak the authority into it. Break it off you. It works. I tell you right now, it works. Because I know firsthand it works. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, your authority. I like the way they use the word darts. Darts flying at you. It's if you've ever watched a battle scene of old times, and you've got the guys at the front who've got the bows and the arrows, and they all shoot and all these darts, blah, blah, bang, knock over 100 people in one hit. You know? And it's what it's like. We've got darts coming at us. Wrestle. Two very well-described things there. And so you can't just break it off, yeah, be gone in Jesus' name and expect everything to be okay. You need to wrestle. You need to fight the spiritual battle. You need to continuously bang away at it and fight it. And you will see improvement. And you need faith to do so. You've got to keep believing. Keep your faith. Do you know where faith comes from? Your relationship with Jesus. You lose that relationship with Jesus. You lose that inner spirit. Jesus is in the spiritual realm. He's in your spirit. You lose that relationship with him. I found my whole life, my whole Christian life, that I come back to that, to the spirit, God's spirit in me, him in me. And that will get you through anything you need to get through in life. But that's where you find your faith. That's where you find your strength. That's where you find your love. Salvation. Now, it reminds me of the helmet of salvation, Arthur Stace. Anyone know the story of Arthur Stace? Arthur Stace was a man who lived in Sydney. He was an alcoholic. He was a petty criminal. He ended up going to the war, the Second World War, and he came back from the Second World War, and he was still a petty criminal. Went back to sleeping at Darlinghurst in the domain there. And then one day there was a preacher, a pastor by the name of Hammond, somebody Hammond. And he said that if you come to my church and you hear me speak, I'll give you a free rock cake and a cup of tea. And so Arthur said, yeah, sure, I'm coming. And so Arthur went and he got saved. He got saved. He came to know the Lord through that. And then 7 years later, He went and saw another preacher by the name of John Ridley. John Ridley he fought in the Battle of Fromelles in the Second World War, and he had come back and became a great preacher, a preacher of the Spirit, a powerful preacher. And he said in that sermon, he said, "Look, where are you going to spend the rest of eternity?" That's what he said. Where will you spend the rest of eternity? And Arthur Stace, something fell in his spirit. He went out and he found a bit of crown in his pocket and he wrote eternity on the road, on the thing there outside the church. And then over the following 30 years, they say that he wrote it 400,000 times. He wrote the word eternity from Darlinghurst to Parramatta, even in Melbourne. But he just wrote eternity. See, his whole ministry was the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. And the message is basically, don't be tempted by short-term gain. Don't sell yourself for a short-term gain. Look at the bigger picture. Think, where am I going to be in 40, 50 years? Not where am I going to be next week. Look at the bigger picture. It's like when you eat your dinner. I know I've got my steak, my potato, my peas. I always eat my peas first, because then they're out of the way, and I've got the good stuff to. I can get into that, and I can enjoy the rest of my dinner, and finish on a good note. And Ashton does it too. I noticed it was funny. He did the same. Get that out of the way, and then he can sit back. And the same thing is with life. Keep the helmet of salvation on. Know that the bigger picture. Look at the bigger picture. Think, will that really benefit me? Will doing that really benefit me? Or is it just going to cause me more problems than it's worth? You know, and then the sword of the Spirit, it goes on and it speaks about have the sword of the Spirit as well. You know, confessing the word of God can never be understated. You've heard it before, but you need to do it. But you know, when you confess the word of God, it's not just to remind you. You've got to speak it into the realm. Speak it into the spiritual realm. I can do all things through Christ. I'm above and not beneath. You know, you need to speak it. Get it out there. You know, Jesus used two things to get into the spirit, to fight the spiritual battle. He used his authority and he used the word of God. He spoke the word of God. In Matthew 4, he said to the devil, he said, "They shall not tempt the Lord thy God." He spoke it to him. He didn't just say, "No, they shouldn't tempt the Lord of God." He spoke it out and spoke it into the spiritual realm. And that's what you need to do. You need to use the word of God. Use it in your battle. Know the word of God. Get some scriptures and use them. And you'll find they'll work, but speak it out. Stand on them. Believe them. And be strong in them. Notes all over the place here, but okay, from verse 18, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, if I can leave you with one thing from this preach that I've done this morning, it's that you need to edify yourself. You need to be edified. If you want to move in prophecy, if you want to give a word to somebody, if you want to be able to pray over somebody and see healing, you need to be edified. Don't think that, oh no, I've got the Spirit of God in me, I can do it, because you won't. You won't. You might, but you need to edify yourself. You need to, in your quiet time, you need to pray in tongues. You need to speak in tongues. You need to build the Spirit of God in your life. You need to strengthen it. The bigger you are, the harder you are to push around. I spoke in tongues and things have changed in my life. I spent time building the Spirit of God in my life. Everything has improved. Everything has improved in my life. And then I went through a period where I didn't do it and things sort of dribbled away again. I started getting into trouble. I started losing that spiritual battle again. And so then I spoke into it again and got into it again. But if you want to move in the spiritual battle, if you want to get into a place where things can happen, do you want to affect people? If you want to move in the Spirit, if you want to see your wife, your husband, your kids, if you want to see things happen, you need to edify yourself. Get into the Spirit. Pray in tongues in your quiet time. Do it at home. Just build the Spirit of God up inside of you. You know? Wouldn't it be great if we had somebody, a prophetic ministry in this church? You know, if that's you, if you feel that you could have a prophetic ministry, you feel that God, it's something that you would like to do, then get into the Spirit. Build it up. Strengthen your spirit. You know, even when you build it, I've noticed things about myself I didn't like. Things that I did that I didn't like that drop off when I build up the Spirit inside of me. When I strengthen the Spirit inside of me. All of a sudden, I don't want to do things that I didn't like about myself that I used to want to do. Because you get into that spiritual realm. You're churning it up. You know, to put it clearer, you know, edify, what does edify mean? It means house builder. Edify means build your house. You see, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16. The body is the house of the Holy Spirit. Edify yourself. Build up that house. Make that house stronger. And the Bible says that speaking in tongues edifies you. And if you want to edify somebody else, prophesy over their life. Because the Bible says that prophecy edifies others. Give them a word. Come to church on a Sunday ready to build. What a great ministry. My ministry is to build others up. My ministry is to speak into their lives and give them something. So this week, I'm going to spend time in the Spirit. I'm going to get into the Spirit and I'm going to protect my Spirit. I'm going to guard it. I'm not going to let something come in that's going to ruin it. I'm going to have a level of something I'm not going to go past on the TV because that's just a bit too much. I'm going to protect that Spirit. I'm going to look after it. I'm going to guard it. And I'm going to give somebody a good word on Sunday. I'm going to speak into their life. I'm going to strengthen them. I'm going to have a ministry of prophecy. We need to get into a place where things can happen. We need to get into a place where we can change lives. You know, the devil doesn't come at us anymore. You know, I sometimes wish he would because I just, yes, great, and I can have a go at him, you know. But he doesn't do that. He comes quietly, like a roaring lion. He's looking for people he can devour. He wants to take you out, church. He wants to destroy you. If there's one thing I know and I've seen, Christians have it harder than other people in the world. Because the devil, he doesn't care. They're already doing a good enough job of ruining their own lives. But as soon as you come to God, he knows that hey, hang on a sec. He's a danger to me. This person's a danger. And the problem is that he'll come in and he'll attack. And so you have the power over him. You have the ability to fight him off. But if you don't do it, all of a sudden, man, you're going nowhere. You're getting into trouble. You're struggling. And I know because I've been there. I spent a lot of time there. And I don't want to go back there. But we need to have the power of God if we're to be successful, if we're going to win. So church, we need to edify ourselves. We need to get ready. We need to fight for our church. We need to fight for our families, fight for our kids, fight for our marriages. The devil wants to break your marriage up. Did you know that? He'll cause fights. Sunday morning before church, his favourite time. His favourite time. But you know what? The worst two days for me in the last month have been Sunday morning. But he didn't come this morning because I rebuked him. And I broke him off, and not once. I broke him off probably 15 times this morning because he kept trying to come back again. But I had a good morning. It went well. You know, the spiritual battle, church, is what the battle we need to fight. I'll finish now with just this one scripture. But from 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, but a natural man... I got loud all of a sudden. A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. They're foolishness. Anybody not saved who wants to live their own lives, they hear me speaking today, they probably think, far out, what's this going on about? And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things. There it is. He who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Just step into it. Start to fight the spiritual battle. Edify yourself. Get into the Spirit. Get yourself a ministry. Have peace. Be smart with the way you deal with the world. Be intelligent the way you deal with them because they want to bring you down. Devil's behind you. They want to bring you down. Be careful. Love them. Love covers all things. Just love them. Just love the world. Love the people. Be good to them. Fit in. Do what you got. I mean, don't cross the line, of course, but just love them. Have peace. Trust God. Wait for your opportunities in life. Pray for your family. They're your kids. That's your husband. That's your wife. Pray for them. It's your job. Look after them in the spiritual realm. Cover them. And lastly, cover your church. Cover your church. We need this church. All of us here will be less happy without this church. I promise you that. It's your job to save it in the spiritual realm. Thanks, church.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.